Nashville's favorite way to wake up. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, and Kevin Ingram.
.045 The Zone. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Want to have a little fun with those instant games? Do so. Play the new Hit Instant Games. Top prizes range from $1,000 up to $400,000. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Pick up the Hit Instant Games today. We'll visit with David Beauclair in just a moment. Before we do, let's give somebody a chance to win here. You like to get out and run, hit the pavement a little bit? Maybe you can't do the half marathon or the full marathon or anything like that. We have the perfect race for you. It's the Titans 5K. It's Saturday at Nissan Stadium. We're giving away one entry to the 2019 Titans 5K. You can run with some of your favorite Titans players and coaches. Finish on the field at Nissan Stadium and have a good time out there. Call or 5-615-737-ZONE, 615-737-ZONE. You win an entry to the 2019 Titans 5K Saturday at Nissan Stadium. We've got Stuart Spears from the Titans with us in a little bit. We'll talk more about the race, but it's 3.1 miles. You can do that. David Beauclair joins us now from the Nashville Post, presented by the Tennessee Lottery. What's going on?
Finally, not a lot in this town.
Oh, after it felt like we needed a few days off. The city needed a few days off. Didn't
this week has felt like an exhale for the first time in a while. It's been kind of nice.
You know, David, it was funny. We were sitting here last week in this very spot, and we were talking about the draft, which started that night. And you made the comment that I don't know what I expect this thing to be.
Yeah.
What was it, and as opposed to what you thought it might be going in?
Yeah, I didn't know how it had become such a big thing, and I finally got out there Saturday afternoon, and I got a sense of it. I mean, for one, you know, everybody's congratulating Nashville, and things went smoothly, and that was great. But don't overlook the NFL special events people. I mean, it's a really well done thing when you're talking about the fan experience, and you know, there's a Hall of Fame exhibit, and there's the rings exhibit, and there's the Lombardi Trophy, and there's the digital dance floor or whatever where you can dance alongside NFL players. I mean, there's a lot of really fun, interesting things to do for a couple of days there. And then, then there's just the magic of Nashville. Like I think if you were to go out in the plains of this country somewhere where there's just wide open spaces and say, we're going to build a big downtown, I don't know if you could plan it out any better than the way Nashville exists right now. I mean, it just shows over and over again how this downtown can take on these big events. You know, and the most remarkable thing about all of this is you had an event this big in downtown Nashville, and the convention center had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the most absurd thing to me, because that was supposed to be the whole thing. Once we got the convention center there, then you can have all these big events. Convention center wasn't even involved in this.
And it's funny, when they first announced that the NFL draft was coming here, I thought, well, and the convention center will be, you know, a key part of all that.
Absolutely.
And you're right. It had nothing really, very little to do with
that,
it.
That was the most amazing thing to me. But the way it all laid out, and I mean, Saturday, hell, the concert was bigger than the draft, actually, because by the time I was leaving at about 4 o'clock, and I mean, there were plenty of people down there, but you could feel sort of the wave of humanity coming in at that point. You say this about this town too: for all the music that there is in this town, and you can find it anytime, anywhere, we still embrace that aspect of it. And you say, hey, here's a big concert downtown. People are going to get excited about it and come out for it.
Well, a couple of things. It's pretty remarkable, given the lower Broadway at one point was, I would say, one of the city's biggest liabilities. And now it's one of its greatest assets. You're right. The way it is set up, it's perfect for an event like this. And it certainly came together. But the other thing to me that was pretty remarkable, the national media usually doesn't agree on anything. And really, pretty much, they were unanimous in their praise for the way Nashville put this thing on.
And again, it's not that Nashville did anything. Like, Nashville didn't create things to make sure things. I mean, it's just the way Nashville is. It's laid out perfectly. It just works. Things like that work here. And I thought Rich Eisen, you know, it was interesting to me what Rich Eisen said afterward, which was something to the effect of, as the NFL continues to move the NFL draft around, Nashville now has to be in the rotation. The way cities like New Orleans and Dallas and Minneapolis are in the rotation to host Super Bowls, you know, Nashville has to be in the rotation to host the draft regularly. So I'm guessing this is not the last we've seen of it.
But the other sort of neat thing is that the NHL All-Star Game sort of redefined the way to put on that event around the league, and other cities subsequent, to Nashville has sort of tried to duplicate that. The viewing parties for the NHL final, you know, were viewing parties on steroids. I mean, we've seen big viewing parties in Toronto and Winnipeg, but really nothing like what was going on in Nashville for that final. Other cities have sort of duplicated that since, and now, you know, we've pretty much raised the bar with the draft.
I've said
just it, in terms of attendance.
Yeah, and you know, and the other interesting thing was television ratings were great across the country.
Unbelievable.
Television ratings here were through the roof. Like, even if you weren't downtown, people were interested and were tuned in.
17. That's unbelievable.
It's incredible. I mean, it's just this town will get behind an event. And you know, it we talked a little bit about last week. Nashville's going to be involved in the World Cup in 2024 to some degree, whatever that is. You can bet that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a big show as well. And something like the draft will probably help too, in terms of the organizers saying, okay, you know, we don't have to just put teams there to practice. We won't make it just a practice site. That's an event. That's an event city for this event.
Well, we're going to get the World Cup because, you know, one of the big selling points is that it'll be the 20th anniversary of the Wake Up Zone.
That's right.
So they have to bring the World Cup.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, speaking of the draft, what did you think about the actual draft picks? You know, and especially the first pick, and then leading into the second and third.
Yeah, you know, you know, I can't say I know a lot about Jeffrey Simmons. You know, like, I'm not a big draft Nick. I'm not a guy who watches film going in, but I assume if you're willing to wait a year for the guy to play, he must be a pretty darn good football player. So I will be curious to see when he gets out on the field. I want to watch him move. That was the kind of bold pick that I think, you know, if you're willing to wait and it works out the way you want, you could, John Robinson could look like a hero about 18 months from now. AJ Brown's a guy, makes perfect sense to me. Hugely productive in college, very, very much in line with what the Titans have done in terms of picking players since John Robinson has been here. You know, a guy who I think obviously add something to the wide receiver group. The guy maybe I'm most curious to see is Hooker, the fifth round pick. You know, one of those guys who maybe doesn't have the off the charts athleticism and everything, but a good football player. You know, a guy who just makes football plays by all accounts pretty much all the time. So he's the one I think could probably make this class, you know, kind of the way Kevin Byard, you know, did for in his draft year. You always expect your first round pick, your second round pick to pan out. It's when the later guys really become good players that separates a class. And Hooker is a guy that I think could maybe set this draft class apart for Tennessee ultimately.
Our guest is David Beauclair. He's from the Nashville Post, and he's sponsored by the Tennessee Lottery. With us throughout this 7 o'clock hour, he covers everything locally. And if you want to know anything about our local teams, the sports scene, 615-737-1045. We'll get to those calls in a moment on Twitter at WUZ1045. Make sure you're following there. This is the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. And before we go, let's send it over to Blaine and a word or two about Gary Ashton.
I've been telling you about Gary Ashton and his team at REMAX Advantage for a while now. They are Tennessee's number one real estate team. And one of the reasons why they're Tennessee's number one real estate team is because of innovations like reverse search real estate. What is reverse search real estate, you ask? It's a way of finding out all the buyers in Nashville looking for a home just like yours before you put it on the market. The technology works by leveraging the biggest database on Nashville real estate. You type in your address and how much you want to sell for, and boom, you can see all the buyers looking for your kind of home. That's why they say don't sell without the intel. Plus, your listings come up first on their site. That's the Ashton advantage. So go give Gary Ashton's team a call today at 615-301-1650, or you can visit them online at GaryAshton.com. But if you call today, Gary will donate $50 to Vanderbilt Children's Hospital for every listing appointment he goes on. So you need to hurry up and give him a call at 615-301-1650 or online at GaryAshton.com.
The Zone. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone. 7:17 the time. We've got our friend David Beauclair with us for this hour from the Nashville Post, brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Jump right in. 615-737-1045 on Twitter at WUZ1045.
Yes, I was going to ask, Bokey about Mr. Conklin here, not them, addressing his, since we're talking about the picks and everything else. That was a high pick that they had a lot of value that they moved up to get the pick, and now all of a sudden, after an all-pro year and then now an injury, an ACL tear, and coming back and kind of still not getting to the level that he was, at least as of now, what do you think them not addressing that option?
I think it's more – I don't think it's so much an indictment of or a challenge mm-hmm. to Conklin. I think it's simple economics. I mean, mm-hmm. Taylor Lewan's extension goes into effect this year. Lewan is making huge money. Roger Saffold signed a big deal that is affordable this year, but next year his salary grows to $9.5 million. Between Lewan and Saffold next year, their combined cap numbers are little more than $30.5 million. Mm. And each of the 2 years after that, those two top $25 million in combined cap numbers. So I think it's simple. I think it's as simple as we can't afford to pay another offensive lineman that kind of money next season. I think that's it. Now it does leave you open to Conklin becomes a free agent after the year. You could lose him. Maybe you decide Roger Saffold's not the guy we thought. They'll cut him. I mean, I think they just had to give themselves options that they can explore. But I just think
you could draft a guy.
Yeah, I just think the salary cap would be thrown completely out, or the salary structure would be thrown completely out of whack if they if they paid him what he would earn on a fifth year option next
year. But that's one way of looking at it. But also, you know, this is a guy who was named All Pro his first year. Maybe, you know, maybe that wasn't totally deserved, but still, he is certainly not playing at the level that he was in his first year. And frankly, the other thing about it is the position has changed. You know, no longer is your right tackle just your road grader. He's got to be able to pass block and pass protect because teams are rushing their top guys on the other side, on his side. You know, he's seen a lot of J.J. Watt. He saw a lot of Cameron Wake. He saw a lot of those elite pass rushers, and he had a hard time handling them.
Right.
So that was the other aspect of it.
Yeah, I think all things being equal, you'd say, yeah, we like Jack Conklin. We'd like to keep Jack Conklin around. I think it's just a simple matter of you can't afford to pay the price necessary to keep Jack Conklin around.
Well, but they're saying
right
is
now.
we like Jack Conklin. We just don't like right. him at a top right tackle price.
And I'm saying if Roger Saffold wasn't here for, like, if they hadn't given that deal to him, maybe they do this deal with Conklin because, you know, he's only a little over a year. He's not even a year and a half removed from that knee injury right now, right? I mean, we'll see. We all know you can come back from those things in 9 months, but it's a year and a half. It's a year and a half or more where you really see whether guys came back. So, I mean, this is a show me year for Jack Conklin in that way. And now it's the same way for the contract. And if he plays great, then he's going to price himself right off the Titans roster, and good for him. And yeah, like Blaine says, they'll draft somebody or they'll sign a cheaper free agent. But you know, they have a ton of money right now invested in the offensive line for the next couple of years, and you just can't afford to pay another salary that big.
Mark, I probably agree with him to a certain extent, depending on how the Titans season goes, that it could be a quarterback controversy if they start off. So let's say if they start off 1-3, which could actually happen. And then all of a sudden, do you think then Tannehill, a lot of pundits are predicting that Tannehill at some point in this season, regardless of how it starts tonight, is the better quarterback, and eventually he's going to be on the field, maybe even halfway through the season.
It's a really good question. And, you know, I heard the discussion last hour. I have said it. You know, both these guys, I don't think it's an accident that both these guys are signed for this year and that's it. I think whether John Robinson has said it to them or not, I think the implication is clear. One of you guys is getting a contract for next season from us. It's not going to be both of you. So let's sort it out. It's Marcus Smart. I think I used the analogy on here one time. It's like playing one-on-one basketball. It's make it, take it. You know, Marcus Mariota's going to start with the ball. If he keeps scoring, then Tannehill's never going to get his chance. But if Marcus puts up a foolish shot and it bounces away, you know, he might not get the ball back if Tannehill gets it. So, I absolutely think it is in Marcus Mariota's best interests financially and long-term planning-wise to have his best season as an NFL quarterback this year.
24 win by four.
Yeah.
Is that the way y'all used to play?
Yes.
Yeah, you got to win by two buckets. Chris in Nashville, good morning. You're on the zone. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, referring back to what you said about Ison wanting to put Nashville in the rotation, I mean, I don't know what you guys feel, but I believe we have absolutely just set the standard as far as the watch parties are concerned, as far as packing out a small area just with hundreds of thousands of people just to watch a man cross the stage and read off the name. I mean, we have absolutely created a standard that is going to be trying to be reached now by Las Vegas and watch. Next year, they don't have the luxury of having all these cities that have been driving distance. They're in the middle of a desert, okay? So this will be back. I think Atlanta could probably do a pretty good job. Maybe a Florida city could do a good job. But as far as the party and the way it was presented, Nashville is the creme de la creme. It's the standard now, which the NFL is going to try to be reaching for. So we've got to have a good day, gentlemen.
Yeah, Chris, we appreciate the call. That was one of my things with Vegas. They may have a lot of people out there, but it's a whole lot easier to get to Nashville than it is Las Vegas. You're going to Vegas, unless you're in maybe somewhere in Southern California or in that general area, you're not driving there. You got to take a flight to get there. Whereas Nashville, man,
everything's within
people.
4 or 5 hours.
Millions of people within a few hours
exactly.
Of here.
I think not to the point of, you know, your point, similar to Vegas, you're saying you'd have to fly there. But in terms of how it would function, I think Denver could do a really good job.
I think Denver probably would. Yeah.
I think Denver has enough open spaces, but it's kind of right there on the edge of downtown. I think it could go off really well there too. And of course, those people are just nuts about their football out there. So I think,
I think they've seen the benefits of holding it outside. You hold it indoors. You sort of limit yourself. I was frankly a little bit surprised that initially they didn't decide to hold it at Nissan Stadium, but now I understand what their grand plan was, and they were absolutely right. And, you know, the stage was awesome. The video boards and everything else, just visually, just incredible. And, again, the sight of looking down Lower Broadway, you know, from the stage on out and seeing that crowd extend, all the way out to Bridgestone Arena was just amazing.
And little details too, like wherever you were, whether you were on Broadway, whether you were a couple blocks off Broadway, whether you were going across the pedestrian bridge, the speakers were like, you never had to stop. Like, who was that pick? What was that? I mean, you always, the draft itself was always front and center, and you always knew exactly who got picked, who was on the clock, what was going on. That part of it I thought was really interesting too.
Yeah, at one point I saw the Sports by Brooks guy was saying, I don't understand why all these people were down there because there are no video screens and no audio. It's like, What draft are you watching? Yeah. Because there's video screens and audio everywhere.
Everywhere.
It was very easy to keep up with what was going on wherever you were.
Yep. Yeah.
It was just where he was there.
Yeah, where he was at, which was in California watching it on TV. David Beauclair is with us from the Nashville Post. Want to join us here, 615-737-1045. More with David coming up, including what moves might be coming up for the Nashville Predators this offseason as they enter what will be a very interesting offseason, you got to think. More Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on the way. Blaine, first in a word about Eurofix.
Yes, if you've ever been frustrated with who've ever worked on your vehicle because you weren't allowed to go back to the service bay and talk to the technician to show them the problem, then you have to bring it back a second or a third time and they get the same thing fixed, right? So annoying, right? Blaine here to tell you about Eurofix. Eurofix takes the irritation out of auto repair on European makes. Eurofix is happy to take you to their service bay in the back of the shop, get to talk to the technician, get to know him personally so he understands your actual issue with your vehicle. You won't find oil puddles, dirt, trash, or grime all over the floor to ruin your clothes and shoes, of course. And if you felt lied to by the other repair centers, come to Eurofix. It is a place you can trust. You don't need an appointment. Like others insist, just drop right on in. Eurofix provides you with a free rental car with every repair, plus a 3-year, 36,000-mile nationwide warranty on every repair so you drive with confidence. So for Eurofix nearest you, give them a call. 844-EUROFIX. That's 844-EUROFIX, or you can visit them online at myeurofix.com.
.1045 The Zone, 732. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. I'm going to have a little fun with Instant Games. Play the new hit Instant Games. Top prizes from $1,000 up to $400,000. Go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Pick up the hit Instant Games today. Tennessee Lottery also sponsors our Thursday morning chats with our friend David Beauclair from the Nashville Post. Read his outstanding work at NashvillePost.com. Get a couple calls here. Jay, thanks for holding. Good morning. You're on the Zone.
Hey, I had a quick question before you guys rip me. just curious. Yesterday I heard where the Titans on your midday 180 interview are picked last in the division. And my question is, if we're 5-8, and our draft pick is healthy, they're not going to play him this year. And second of all, do you think we should have taken a defensive player in 2017 draft rather than Corey Davis? I asked Blaine, what do we need? We need instant production. And I'm starting to really question our drafts. Not only that, they were saying all the picks behind A.J. Brown are going to be practice squad players this year.
That's not true.
We'll hang up and see what you think. Thanks.
It's not true. I don't know, but whoever said that is just simply not true.
I mean, DeAndre Walker is going to be out there rushing the passer.
Yeah, so numbers alone.
Yeah. I mean, and David Long, I would assume, is going to be a special teams maven. Walker will be playing on every special teams.
I think Hooker will be a dime contributor.
Nate Davis is not going to be a practice.
I mean, Nate Davis might be a start, might be the starter at one of the guard spots.
He'll be competing for that.
Yeah,
that's for
sure. Absolutely.
The question about
Corey Davis. You need a big play wide receiver. Corey Davis can still be that guy. I mean, we saw flashes last year. What you need to see from Corey Davis now is, you know, when a bad game for him is 5 receptions for 52 yards and no touchdowns, you know, like that's where he needs to get at this point. I don't think you can say he was the wrong choice. He just his first season was kind of lost in a lot of ways to injury, and he was better last year. So, you know, the thing, you can't have him. He can't be at his ceiling right now. There's still time for him to be the guy that the Titans need him to be.
Yeah, I mean, with this at this point in his career, it's almost impossible the way the rules are set up that you got to be able to get 1,000 yards. I think if he got 1,000 yards, I think it's hard to say he's on the uptick and continue to grow as a player. Being a number one right now, I'm still in limbo if he can actually be a number one, or is he always going to be a solid, good NFL player, maybe a 1B guy instead of the number one guy with the talent. When you're the 5th pick of the draft, your talent level is so off the charts compared to everybody else. You're supposed to be a dominating presence just on the field. I don't think when teams play us, they feel like he is that guy quite yet. So I don't know if he can get there. I hope so. You know, some of that is a product of the offense. Some of it is a product of the quarterback. It's not always just him. It'll be interesting to see where this career goes, because as the fifth pick, he's going to be dubbed a bust if he never becomes, you know, that 1,200, you know, 1,400-yard receiver, at least in one season, because you're supposed to be just that good. Fifth pick. Just think about this. Fifth pick. Now, he's supposed to be dominating more so than he is. So that's why you say, is it the product of the offense or of him? Is he improving or is it the quarterback?
David Boeckler is our guest. Again, 615-737-1045. To switch over to hockey and the Predators, did it surprise you that they decided to bring the entire coaching staff back intact as we kind of looked forward to this offseason here?
It did. Just because, and I talked about it last week, you know, David Poyle's attitude in the season ending press conference, I mean, he looked like he was ready to fire a whole bunch of people. the impression he gave was, if I had to do it right now, I'd get rid of everybody, and I'm going to take time and catch my breath and then decide who needs to go. So my takeaway from that day was that somebody's going, but he also
seemed to put Laviolette on notice, pretty much saying you either change in this league or, remaining stagnant is death, pretty much. Remaining stagnant is equal to failure, and you've got to be able to adjust.
Yeah, interesting comment from a guy who kept his team intact. Maybe he was putting himself, or sort of reminding himself, too, that was a mistake. But, clearly this team is getting further away from the goal now. So something has to happen. Some moves have to be made. If it's not going to be on the coaching staff, okay, then there's going to be some sort of roster shakeup this offseason.
Interesting. Elliot Friedman writes a great column, 31 Thoughts. And one of the things that he pointed out was what people were saying around the league about the Predators' power play, which was not just bad, but historically bad. And that was that their entries were among the worst in the league, that the Predators could not even get into the attack zone to set up their power play. They struggle with that. And the other thing they said, which I think is really interesting, that they are over-reliant on the slap shot because the slap shot is becoming a dinosaur now in the National Hockey League.
Well, I think to that point, they're over relying on the slap shot because they don't move enough on if you watch everybody else, you particularly watch these teams still playing in the playoffs right now. I mean, they're not stationary unless they've got the defense chasing them all over the place. And that, you never saw that from the Predators this season. And the whole thing, everything you talked about, Mark, is sort of inexcusable with this team. When you talk about the defensemen that they have and the ability of those guys to skate, when you talk about a playmaker like Ryan Johansson who can get the puck to guys in prime scoring chances, for him to just lay it off to the point and create slap shots, none of it makes sense with this team. And Peter Laviolette talked about it. He basically said, we were really good the year before. We were really bad this year. It's almost like they're thinking, it happened. It won't happen again. I'd prefer to hear a little more urgency from this organization talking about what they're going to do to fix it.
This league changes really fast. You look at what Dallas has done, for instance. Dallas missed the playoffs the last couple of years. The joke was they always won the off season, but never won the regular season. Well, hiring Montgomery was a masterstroke. That guy has been unbelievable.
And they got a goalie finally who could play. They were always sort of a goalie away.
But young players, they're Heiskanen, Klingberg's been there, a little while. Lindell, and then Roope Hintz on the second. He has been just dynamite. in the postseason. They moved him to the first line last night, but I was watching their first two lines and the way they moved the puck, just the way they scored. And I thought, you know what? The Predators used to look like that, but they don't look like that anymore.
And you think about 2 years ago in the Stanley Cup final, you know, Philip Forsberg was a young guy and Victor Arvidsson was a young guy. It was the same sort of thing that you're seeing. And you're right. Things change quickly in this league and Nashville age wise, you know, you can still point to the number of players who are 27 and younger on this team, 28 and younger, but they're an older bunch relative to some other folks right now. And they need to get a little more of that youthful enthusiasm.
Seems like Ryan Ellis among the defensemen would be the most likely to be traded. I don't know what you think.
I'm buying into the Subban thing. This whole thing feels like a couple of years ago, and the things PK Subban is saying right now are the same things he was saying at the end of his last season in Montreal. It's almost like he knows his time has come. You know, maybe he's got people behind the scenes sort of engineering his way out of town. It just feels like Subban wants to go somewhere else right now and be PK Subban again. You almost get the sense that once he establishes his star power enough in one spot, he feels like he needs to take it somewhere else. So it feels to me like that's what's coming in terms of a shakeup on the defense.
Our guest David Beauclair from the Nashville Post. Want to jump in here, 615-737-1045. I was going to ask David, could the PGA Tour tee it up here with the Nashville Golf Open in town this week? More Wake Up Zone just ahead. Mark, first, get a word about Wilson County Hyundai.
Yeah, no pain bone is absolutely pumped about his 2019s at Wilson County Hyundai. And they'll tell you that right there in Lebanon, every Hyundai they have on the lot is selection at its best. And even more important, the savings make each and every Hyundai a true value buy. And if you're shopping sports utilities, they'll have you spring and summer ready. The 2019 Santa Fe is their most advanced SUV ever. And with the Tucson and the all-new Kona, you can compare them all side by side. You can compare the Elantra and the Sonata. They're both value at its best. If Hyundai makes it, Wilson County Hyundai has it. With America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty and Hyundai Assurance, Wilson County Hyundai, they're close. Right there in Lebanon, just 20 minutes east of the airport, and their family. And they look forward to seeing you in the showroom or shop online at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Have a great Hyundai day.
The Wake Up Zone, 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We have our friend David Beauclair from the Nashville Post in the house. They are proud the lottery is to have raised more than $4.8 billion for education. By the way, Father's Day is coming up. Mother's Day is coming up. Father's Day.
Say, wait, I know.
Wait, yeah, first things first.
Get those orders.
I'm trying to get people to think down the road here. Father's Day is coming up in June. A great way to spend your day with your dad is the Who's Your Caddy Golf Tournament, Monday, June 17th with The Zone at Champions Run Golf Course in Rockvale. You can spend the day away from the office to tee off on a beautiful course. You can pick out a morning or afternoon flight. Spots are limited. You want info or you want to buy your foursome, you can go to 1045thezone.com/WYC2019, the Who's Your Caddy Golf Tournament, Monday, June 17th at Champions Run. We'll see you there. Come out and hang in with us with The Zone. Teed up. Hit him straight. We'll try to do that out at Nashville Golf and Athletic. And, David, I know your wife, Tammy, very involved in the Nashville Golf Open, the web.com tour event that is going on. And, you know, it kind of brings up the question, and we heard Brant Snedeker talk some about this the other day. Is there a chance that this area can have a PGA Tour event at some point if things fell into place in the right way?
I think there's a chance. Just, you know, to hear Brant tell it, I'm a little more optimistic, assuming he wasn't overselling it too badly. You know, that PGA Tour pros are well aware of Nashville, want to come to Nashville, all that. You know, from a logistical standpoint, or from a you know, does this happen? yeah, it happens. You look at this year's PGA Tour schedule. There's two new events on the schedule this year. One of them in Minneapolis, St. Paul, which was a Champions Tour of stop for many years. And apparently that grew so big that the PGA finally said, okay, yeah, we'll bring a PGA Tour event there. So, I would say this to Nashville. If you want a PGA Tour stop here, don't sit around and wait for it. Go start attending the NGO. Make it a huge event, because I think that's what it's going to have to take. You know, much like the players on that tour are trying to prove they belong on the PGA Tour, I think Nashville has to show that it has that sort of fervor for golf, and it deserves a PGA Tour stop.
One thing we talked about yesterday is where it would fall on the schedule is a big part of it, because you don't want it to be any time after the 1st of September.
Right.
Because it would be competing with football. You want it to be in that window. And I wonder, window of, say, I don't know, June to August or something like that. But I wonder if, you know, the way the PGA has changed the schedule a little bit to compress the majors into the front end of the season. I mean, how does that change, I wonder, the spots that might be open to have some sort of event later on in the season?
It's a really good question, because you figure there are events that typically have been played in late August, September, whatever, jockeying to try and make sure they stay in the primary window of the PGA Tour season because basically now anything, what, after the start of September, you're playing the next season already, and you're sort of an afterthought until January.
But the problems... The problems with that are many, though. Once, and I've always said, and I remember when the Champions Tour was still here, and of course, the LPGA, the problem is once you schedule that tournament, after the first football goes on the tee, you lose fans who are going to be watching football or going to football games on Saturday and Sunday and traveling on Friday. But the other thing, too, is television, because obviously, you know, the NFL is on CBS. CBS is done televising tournaments, and you just don't see a whole lot of, a whole lot of PGA tournaments in September. And the other part of it is coverage. You're not going to get a lot of media coverage here because everything is so football-centric.
You're absolutely right.
And if the Preds are playing, and that's, if it's in October, forget about it.
And that's to Kevin's point. You've got to land on the schedule in the right spot. And let me be clear about this too. Like, the chances of Nashville getting a PGA Tour event in the next 2 or 3 years are zero. Like that's not going to happen. Right. This is something that would have to really grow and evolve over 5 years to 10 years, I would think, ideally, something like that. But you get the sense that Brent Snedeker very much wants this to happen and wants to do this. You know, you look at the history of PGA Tour tournaments, and you've got something like the Byron Nelson Classic, which is not just named for Byron Nelson. I mean, Byron Nelson created that and drew players to it every year. And the Colonial in Fort Worth was Ben Hogan's tournament. You've got the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and you've got the Memorial that Jack Nicklaus does up in Dublin, Ohio. I mean, this is players leave their legacy in the game by doing these sorts of things. And hearing Brandt talk on Monday, you feel like, you know, he wants this to be part of his legacy and part of Nashville's, you know, legacy in terms of golf too. He wants to contribute this to Nashville, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And it was smart of him to get involved with the NGO and see if he can help grow this thing. And it's clear what he's trying to do now.
David, great stuff as always. Hour goes fast.
Yes, it does. Thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend.
You too. From the Nashville Post, check out his work at NashvillePost.com. David Beauclair joins us every Thursday morning right here on the Wake Up Zone, brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery.